Yo, what's going on, everyone? It's your boy Cole, and today we're here for Outside the Box Sports Podcast. Today I'm joined with Joe Lukancic. Both of us are terribly, terribly sick, so if we sound like ingested or hear some coughing, please don't mind that. It's been going on for a few days now. We want to get better, but unfortunately, the sickness is just it's getting to us, you know? So today's episode is going to be the first in a series of episodes regarding the NFL draft. Now, every year these past few years, we've done our mock drafts right before the draft and talked about where we think each guy will go. But starting this year, I'm going to do a series of episodes going over each position, and we're going to give our rankings for each of those positions. So today's first episode, we're going to be going over all the quarterbacks, all the main guys in this year's draft. We have comprised a list of, I think, 6 to 7 guys. That we feel highly on, I guess. I don't want to go over some bum who's going to be a seventh round pick, you know. So these are the guys that have a chance of somewhat being a starting quarterback in their career at some point. So then obviously next episode will be running backs. Maybe the next one will be receivers. We're going to do that till we get all the way to the end. And this just gives us a chance to go a little more in depth on each guy rather than just kind of brushing over them very quickly in our mock draft that will release in late April. So today we're doing quarterbacks, but before we get into that, I want to touch up on the NBA standings. Joe, I believe you have them pulled up right now. Because the season's coming to an end. I mean, regular season ends in what, a month?
1 month, yep.
It's coming very, very quickly. So Joe, where do we stand right now?
So I know for a fact though, sports U-Haul coming up here soon. MLB TBD to start. March Madness starts the 17th. Playoffs of the NBA begin the 16th for April. March is obviously March, and then the Masters begin on the 7th. Got to throw in the Masters, of course. And for any of you hockey fans out there, May 2nd, that's your day. But in the NBA, we have the first 6 seeds in the East: Heat, Sixers, Bucks, Bulls, Celtics, and Cavs. Some notes from there: Celtics really hot right now. I think 9-1 in their last 10. And then you got the Bulls. Bulls and Cavs are about the 4-6 mark last 10 games, so they're the cooler. But every team, wow, that's actually crazy. Every team but the Bulls and Bulls and Cavs are 8-2 in their last 10. So Bucks, Sixers, Heat, and Celtics really hot right now. 7, 8, 9, 10, you got Raptors, Nets, Hawks, and Hornets. Hawks were the 10, but with the Hornets lost tonight, that moves them up a spot. Nets, 4-6 in their last 10. Raptors are set 3-7. Hornets are also 3-7, and Hawks are 5-5. They're in the play-in spot for a reason. Wizards are 3 games out of the play-in. They're also 5-5. Pardon me. Knicks, they are 3-7 in their last 10. They started 10-1. They are now 27-38, chasing 5 games from a playing spot. Moving on to the West. Sorry for you Pacers, Pistons, and Magic fans.
Yeah, you guys suck.
You guys suck. Yep. And then in the West, excuse me, you have the Suns, Grizzlies, Warriors, Jazz, Mavericks, and Nuggets as your top 6 seed. I won't go into it because I don't think I'll make it. 7, 8, 9, and 10. You got T-Wolves, Clippers, Lakers, Pelicans, and then the Blazers, Spurs, and Kings are still within fighting spot of that last 10 seed. Cole, you can take it away for the quarterbacks.
Yeah, we're going to be struggling through this episode, but I'm actually almost a little happy that we got sick because we were planning on making this, I think, around Monday night. And obviously Tuesday, we saw the news of Aaron Rodgers re-signing, and we saw the news of the Russell Wilson trade to Denver. And then today, Wednesday, early this morning, we saw Carson Wentz get traded to Washington. So a lot of shakeup in the quarterback scene here for the NFL. So we're almost happy we waited a little bit because me especially, I don't know about Joe, but I gave kind of an ideal team fit for each of these draft prospects. And a few of these guys ahead Washington, but obviously they're not in the market for a quarterback anymore. I had a guy potentially going to Green Bay. I had to switch that up, obviously, because they brought back Aaron Rodgers. Now Seattle could be in the market for a quarterback because I don't know how confident they feel in Drew Lock because he is Drew Lock. So maybe Seattle, that opens up some room for them. Maybe they want to draft a quarterback. Joe, are you here? Or are you still sick?
We're good. We're good.
All right. All right. So let's kick it off. I think we're going to start. Do you want to go 7-1 or 1-7?
Let's go 7-1.
Okay. All right. So this is going to be my last ranked quarterback out of these seven. Actually, you know what? I'll give us a rundown of our guys. So we have Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, Sam Howell, Bailey Zappi, Desmond Ridder, Matt Corral, and Carson Strong. Those are our seven guys. So, coming in at number seven for me is going to be Matt Corral out of Ole Miss. He's 6'2", 205. I really like this guy. Before the draft, just some of his highlights that I saw, I was a big Matt Corral guy. Then I kind of went in depth, and I don't like him as much, I have to say. That's why he's my last ranked guy out of here. I read some articles on him, and he seems like he's kind of a punk. Seems like none of his teammates really like him. He can provide a spark to the offense. I do have to say that. But that's what scouts also said about Daniel Jones. Like, sure, he will have some highlights, but also he's going to have some very, very low light. Just some stupid mistakes, and that's what I see with him. He's been compared to Zach Wilson. My player comparison for him is Johnny Manziel. He's got that arm to make some big plays. The accuracy, I don't think, is completely there. I've seen him go early as the sixth pick to Carolina. To me, he's a second to third round talent. Obviously, some teams might reach. I don't think he's a first round guy. He's just not a good quarterback to me. Again, my player comparison for him is Johnny Manziel. And for each of these guys, I also did a Cole's crystal ball. That's pretty much where I've never done this before, but that's kind of want to predict each guy's future and then come back maybe a year, 2 years from now and kind of see how accurate I was with that. So for my first Cole's crystal ball, we got Matt Corral. And my crystal ball for him is that Corral and Henry Ruggs combined for 24 touchdown connections in the NPFL. That's the National Prison Football League. I just think he's going to get in some trouble because I guess he's a punk. And I think he'll get thrown into jail, and then him and Ruggs will cook up somehow. But, yeah, I think he's a Johnny Manziel. I think he's the next Manziel. I'm not a big Corral guy. You might think otherwise, but I have him at 7.
Ooh, I do think otherwise. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. But coming at my 7 spot is Carson Strong. To be honest, when you added him to the list, I had to do some research on him because – he's not like a noticeable name, I'd say, in this draft. He's kind of, I'd say, overshadowed a little bit. But for me, he's coming at the 7. I mean, watching film on him, I'm a big Phillip Rivers guy. I just feel like this guy has like the physique. I wouldn't say like, I'm not comparing him, but like this would be his NFL comparison right here. Like
in terms of his build, I could see that because he's kind of a taller guy.
Because, yeah, like, he can't, like, he's not going to move. Like, he can, like, he'll rush, but, like, he's not going to, like, go crazy like Lamar. Like, he'll get you your 5 yards, and then that will be it for the game. But pass the ball well, 4,200 passing yards about. Doesn't turn it over, 12 games, 8 interceptions. I mean, that's not that bad. And then touchdowns, 36, that's not bad. But for me, I could see maybe getting a shot at a starting job, just like he's gonna be like Jacob Eason. He'll be like one of those guys. I don't think he'll get much opportunity, so yeah, he's gonna be my 7.
Yeah, he's coming in at 6 for me. Carson Strong out of Nevada. He's 6'4", 215 pounds, kind of a taller build like a Phillip Rivers. My comparison for him is actually Brock Osweiler, who's 6'7". He's kind of a very, very taller guy. And a thing that I noticed is that with a lot of those tall quarterbacks, they kind of have a longer time to throw the ball, if that makes sense. If you look at the shorter guys on the other end of the spectrum, guys like Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray, because those defensive linemen are so much taller and can bat the ball down, they almost have to get rid of the ball very quickly when it comes to their release. When tall guys like Peyton Manning or Phillip Rivers, they have a lot of time to throw because they're really not threatened to get the ball tipped. So they kind of have a long windup to really get that accuracy that they want. But that's not the case for Carson Strong. He's got a really, really quick release. I would say the quickest out of all these seven guys. He stands very tall in the pocket for his height. And my player comparison for him, like I said, is Brock Osweiler. If I had to give a team fit for him, it honestly might be the Green Bay Packers. I could see him fitting in with Aaron Rodgers, being good buddies with him. And my crystal ball prediction for Carson Strong is he's going to be the XFL starter by 2025. He's just not NFL material to me. This is quite a weak QB class, I guess you could say, compared to the past 2 years. But the past 2 years have been incredible for quarterbacks. We have had a lot of really good prospects. And for me, this year is quite weak. So I think Carson Strong is just not a very good quarterback. He'll probably be a third, fourth round guy. That'll be a backup somewhere for a few seasons, and then he'll move over to like the Canadian League or something and start cooking up there. But Carson Strong is my number six pick. It's not really that good.
I don't know how you're doing it, but I put my order together how they're going to get drafted. Not like NFL futures yet. Okay. I'll probably cover that more when we do like the whole 1 through 32 rounds and then go off of that. But my number six guy is going to be Bailey Zapp. That's how you say it, right?
Zappy.
My name. But this guy, I mean, 6,000 passing yards, about 62 touchdowns, only 11 picks. I mean, pretty impressive. I mean, did play teams like Michigan State, Indiana. I mean, you played some good teams, but I just feel like I've seen a lot of people compare him, if he gets drafted, to like sort of like that Case Keenum, how he was with the Vikings. And like, he could be that potential like substitute if someone were to get injured, and then he could be a guy like that to like lead a team to like the NFC Championship. I've seen a lot of people say this could be like a guy like that that you could need, but that I don't see him getting like Strong much playing time in NFL. I mean, I saw a lot of people saying, man, he just broke Burrow's record. What does that mean? I mean, Burrow also played at LSU and won the national championship, so It calmed down there. But I like the guy. I mean, I think he plays well. I mean, he's got that natural instinct where, like, if he sees something, he'll find a hole and he'll find a way to get there. But yeah, I think he'll get drafted. Strong will probably be, I'd say Strong probably maybe fourth or fifth round. Maybe you can see Zappy here in the third or fourth. But yeah, I don't see him getting a starter-like drafted-wise, you know.
Yeah, he's going to be my five spot here, Bailey Zappy. He goes to Western Kentucky. He was a Hilltopper. Classmate of Ty Bodicich, their all-star catcher.
Yep.
He's 6'1", 215. Like Joe said, he had all those passing yards and touchdowns. And actually, this past season in 2021, both of those stats broke the NCAA records. So he's a record holder for single season passing yards and touchdowns. He did it in the same year. A lot of passing going on in that Western Kentucky offense. He's a strong arm QB. He's got incredible arm talent. He's not going to be the guy you want if you want a guy like an improviser or a guy using his legs. Bailey Zappi's not your guy there. He's a guy that's going to make the throws when you need him to. He's just that guy. Now, I was going – I saw a few different – I think I went to two or three different highlight clips of his. And, you know, I'll maybe watch one of them, but I really like going into the YouTube comment sections and seeing what other people have to say. And a lot of people were kind of criticizing him. Well, it's not really his fault, but just for the fact that, you know, he got a lot of time in the pocket. The defensives that he was going against weren't the best. So that's you can't really control that. He was just playing with what he was given, and he did a damn good job of it. He's got really low mobility, like I said. He's just kind of middle-round material, much like a Carson Strong type of guy. His team fit, I said maybe the Colts. He can have a competition with whoever their guy is, Ellinger or Eason. Maybe the Bucks. Maybe he goes has a competition there. If a team brings him in, he's not going to be a definitive starter. He's either going to be a definitive backup or maybe competing for that quarterback spot. Cole's crystal ball, I compared it to him in the past. I think he's going to be the next Minshew. And we're going to go from Minshew mania to you've been zapped. I'm a big zappy guy. I think he's going to be the new wave of quarterback. Everyone's going to be getting a Bailey Zappi jersey in 2022. I'm a big fan of him, and he's my number five spot.
This comes down to, like, the main five guys. I actually had a little rough time with this, but I eventually came down to – I'm still going back and forth. If I'm going to do it in the way I think they're going to get drafted, then I'm going to go with Desmond Ridder. I really liked how he plays. I'm not going to lie at all. The Cincinnati was a really shocker team this year. I mean, he passed well. 3,300 yards, 30 touchdowns, 8 picks. They were the fourth seed, right?
Yeah, they were top four in the country, which is kind of crazy.
So, I mean, they beat Notre Dame while they were ranked. Got smoked by Bama. Also beat Houston. But, I mean, they played. That's why they were undefeated until they lost to Bama.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were a good team. But I feel like I was talking about this before. They were talking about this on the Pat McAfee show today on how he's probably going to fall around that 32 spot, which I think he'll fall later in the second round a little bit. But the 32 spot and having him and Goff compete for a starting job, which I think that could be perfect because I know he's like the type of player where if he's going to get the shot to compete, he's gonna try and win. And I mean, Goff's probably not used to that because, I mean, he's a Super Bowl. He made it to the Super Bowl. He's a Super Bowl
quarterback. Yeah, former first overall pick.
Exactly. So he's like, all right, this is my team being handed. I mean, Ridder's going to go on there kind of like, what's his name? Who did this a few years ago? I'm trying to think. I can't. It won't come to me. But I think he's going to be a decent quarterback. I think he could be a quarterback that could start in the league. But I think it's he could start in the league, but I think it's unlikely. So we'll see how that goes. But he is my number five.
And I think that's been a thing in these past few years have kind of changed people's opinion. But so I feel like everyone thinks that a quarterback, in order to be a starter, has to be a first-round guy. And that's not necessarily true at all. Jalen Hurts got drafted in, I think, the second or third round. He's a starting quarterback. Dak Prescott was, a fourth-round guy. He took over after Romo left, obviously. Tom Brady, sixth-round pick. That's kind of a anomaly right there, though. Quarterback doesn't have to be a first-round pick in order to be a starter. So maybe Ridder does seep into the second round, and he could win over the job. I'm really high on Ridder, though, and he's a little bit higher on my list. He's Joe's five spot. He's a lot higher on my list. My number four spot is Joe. I know you said that you told me that your opinion has changed a lot as you went more in depth on each guy. So originally, I know you were very high in this guy. I don't know where you stand on him now, but it's Kenny Pickett for me at the four spot. Quarterback from Pitt. He's 6'2", 225. I'm looking at these guys. All these guys generally have the same kind of build. They're all like 6'1 to 6'4 around the 215 range. These guys are all very similar. We don't have any shorties in this one. We don't have any Kyler Murrays. Now, when I was watching film on Kenny Pickett, I noticed that he plays very conservative, and that's almost too much. He throws with two gloves. That grosses me out. He's pretty accurate, but I would like to see the higher velo on the medium to deep passes. It seems like he underthrows the ball a lot. And that's something that you see with a lot of young quarterbacks. When they're in college, the defensive backs are nowhere as near the level that they are in the NFL. So you can just kind of dump passes in because guys are wide open. And the NFL, That's just not how it is. You're going to have to get used to throwing to guys in tight coverage. You're going to have to learn to fire it in there. And I think that's where Kenny Pickett's downfall is going to be. His player comparison is Derek Carr. He's not extremely good at anything to me. He's pretty average across the board. If I had to give some team fit for him, I have two teams listed here. Maybe Seattle. I know our good friend Zach Gignoli wants Malik Willis. But for me, that's just not the case. I think if you're a Seahawks fan, you want a guy like Pickett. Just more of an accurate guy to throw some high point passes to DK Metcalf. And it seems like Pete Carroll's going to have to go back to that run first offense like he did when he had Marshawn Lynch. And if that's the case, then Kenny Pickett's going to complement that very well. And my other team is the Panthers. I don't know if they want to take him at six, but that's another kind of team that you could kind of take some pressure off of him with Christian McCaffrey. And he could also throw some short passes to him out of the backfield. And McCaffrey can kind of take that pressure off him. So those are the two teams I like for Kenny Pickett. If I had to give a crystal ball prediction for him, Cole's crystal ball says that Kenny Pickett will be a backup journeyman. I'm not very high on this guy. The two gloves was a big turnoff for me. And I just think he's going to he's not good enough to hold a starting job for me. Maybe he'll get one for 1 year here and there. But to me, he's just not that guy.
So I think you were confusing Pickett with me instead of I mean, I still excuse me. I still do like Pickett a little bit, but my other guy was actually Matt Corral. I was really high on him. He was actually my – and like you said, I went back and really, like, watched and compared, and I'll go over how I think, like, ranking-wise on how I like them after, but for the sake of the draft, my number four will be Sam Howell. I really like how he plays a lot. He gives you the passing and rushing point of view, and it really reminds me of why am I drawing a blank? Who did I compare him to? Yeah, let me go to my notes real quick. But I really like the way he plays. He had 900 rushing yards about. Oh, yeah, that's what. He really reminds me of Mitch. I mean, like, the way he played, he could pass, he could rush. He gives that double factor. And see, like, this year Mitch is getting more attention because he fell into Nagy's awful system. Mitch could maybe actually lead a team to the playoffs. No, I'm, like, crazy saying that. But towards the end of Howell's schedule, he did he faced Notre Dame, Wake Forest, Pittsburgh, and North Carolina. No, not the North Carolina State. With NC State, my bad. But he only had, four touchdowns? Four touchdowns, three picks. But he did have over 400 rushing yards. So, I mean, if he can't get it going, he gives that dual factor where, I mean, hey, he can offer it on both sides. So, I think you could be getting a special weapon with Sam Howell. I think, to be honest, I could see three or four guys maybe going in the first round. But it all depends on how the rest of the few days go, because I know there's probably going to be another NFL quarterback on the move probably before Friday. So we'll see how that plays out. But Sam Howell will be my four.
Sam Howell is actually going to be my three. With North Carolina, 6'1", 220. He's kind of a chubby boy. Looks a little. Some notes that I have on him is that he's a good improviser. He's not the most mobile guy. Like I said, he's chubby. But when he feels that pocket, he knows when to use his legs. He's a guy like Jackson or a Malik Willis, who we're going to cover later. He's just his best first quarterback. But when he feels that pocket collapse, he knows the right time to use his legs. And I think that's really, really good. It shows signs of a guy who's pro-ready. And a lot of his highlights show me that he's a master of the RPO / play action. Seems like every big play he had was an RPO with a guy running a slant over the middle, and he just fired it in there. He's got the arm talent of a guy like Bailey Zappi, who we already covered. Not too many deep balls, though, in his highlights that I was watching. Seems like he keeps up in the short to medium range, just fires it in there and lets his receivers do the work. My comparison for him is Baker Mayfield. A lot of people were comparing him to that. I think that's because of the play action in Stefanski's offense. The run game heavy, and then they complement that with the fake handoff and tight ends. Just some receivers get open, and he could fire it in there. That's what they're going to see Howell do. My ideal fit for him is actually going to be the New Orleans Saints. I think he could play great. Michael Thomas, who they call Slant Boy, and Sam Howell loves to throw slant out from what I've seen in his highlights. Those two could be a really, really good connection in Howell's rookie season. So I think Saints can, I don't know if they want to reach 18 pick. Maybe they reach in the first round. You know, there's what, I think 5-6 weeks until the draft. So a lot of things could shake up. But right now, I got Howell going to the Saints. That's a good fit for him. And Cole's crystal ball, he's a very high floor, low ceiling guy. And he could be a bridge quarterback for some teams. Now, I don't know if you want to consider Howell a franchise guy. I don't know if he has that kind of abilities. But maybe if the Saints like a college, it's going to be 2-3 years from now, they could Howell's like a holdover. But get him.
They could select their other quarterback.
But I think Howell's a really, really serviceable guy that could get the job done in the right offense. It would be a really good fit for him.
I do like it. excuse me. I do like how you said that, because I feel like one of my two next guys. I'll go Corral next at three. I just, like I said, for draft order's sake, this is how my order is for now. But I think if the Steelers don't make a splash at the quarterback, I could see them taking Matt Corral. They're going to need someone to compete with Rudolph, or, which is sad, I'm saying that Mason Rudolph should never be a starting quarterback in the league. He is god-awful. But Matt Corral, I mean, I really liked him, and it just seems like you explained, like, why he's your savvy. It just became less and less. It's like he's not exciting as some other players in the draft, and we'll go over that in a little bit. But he'll play. I think he'll start, and I think – he's just going to be, like, average. He kind of gives me now, like, Baker Mayfield vibes. I don't know if you're, like, who'd you compare him to?
Manziel.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, so I'm double Browns. But yeah, he'll be my three for now. But I think him and Pickett are interchangeable.
Your remaining two are Pickett and Willis. Is that right?
Yeah, it's pretty, yeah.
My yours are is
Willis and Ritter, yeah.
Okay, so my number two spot, Desmond Ritter, quarterback in Cincinnati, 250, taller guys. He has great pocket presence. He knows the pressure to make throws. That makes sense. He really good at kind of and he feels already. Again, he has really good throw velocity. He knows to throw each pass. Sign. So if you're an NFL offensive coordinator, a QB's coach, you got to be excited for what you see in Desmond Ritter. Another thing I'd like to note is that he has a child. He's got a baby. That shows he is a sign of maturity.
But
maybe. Maybe that could I would favor that over Corral. The punk, I don't like him. Ritter, kid, he's mature. He knows what the deal is. My player comparison for him, actually, a lot of these really shaky for me. I've never, this is probably the most accurate one. Dak Prescott,
and he just plays exactly like Dak.
My team fits for him. Or maybe Seattle. I don't think Seattle takes him with their 9 pick. But 1 pick in the second round. Very well.
Ritter being there at 41.
So maybe they take him there. football prediction for Desmond Ritter is that this guy is going to win some football games. You know, Cincinnati
lockdown cornerbacks in
Kobe Brown and Sauce Gardner. Those two guys really helped them. But you can't top four spot in the country just with those two guys. You have to get some magic offense. And Desmond Ritter played a really, really big part in their success. He comes from a winning, and I think that's going to translate very well. I would like him. He's not going to be a definitive starter, like you said. I think Detroit, he could compete with Goff. And then Seattle, they could hold a competition between Ritter and Drew Lock.
Really like what I see in Ritter.
And I think when it's going to
pay off,
I think his career is going to take a very similar as Dak Prescott. And he plays like him, too. So I'm a big Ritter guy.
My number two is Pickett. He's kind of like Corral. I mean, he's kind of lost a little love for me, but I mean, he's still a good, decent quarterback. I mean, what was Pittsburgh ranked or no? I can't remember.
Exactly, I know under Pickett.
Yeah, I think they might have been ranked like towards the end of later of the season. Yeah, because they only lost two games, so. they did play well. He had 4,400 passing yards, 42 touchdowns, only 7 picks. So, I mean, he didn't turn over the ball much. But he's a smaller quarterback. And, I mean, in today's league, I mean, Kyler Murray's doing pretty well. But, I mean, you don't really see a bunch of smaller quarterbacks, like, doing – I mean, you know, how tall – oh, he's 6'3". I mean, that's – but I just think – compared to Willis and others, he's losing a little bit love, but I think compared, like you said, Saints and Steelers will be fishing around for either, well, Saints might go another wide receiver. I have them taking a receiver, but Steelers are going to get Corral or Pickett, and it's going to come down to who the GM likes the most. And then, to be honest, I think they'll take Pickett and then Corral will fall. But with the Commanders not needing a quarterback now, or well, that's what we think. They could still take a quarterback, but I think Pickett could fall to the Steelers at 20. I think they're pick 20, yeah.
That's where they are picking. Now, in my... Yes, the Steelers are picking at 20, and I think they're definitely in the market for a quarterback. Like you said, Mason Rudolph definitely is not a starting caliber guy, in my opinion, and I think in a lot of people's opinion. I don't know if they've been in rumors for Jimmy G. I know the Colts have been kind of that main team. Maybe Tampa has been in the running for Jimmy G. Joe, you're a Steelers guy. Do you know if the Steelers been in the run for Jimmy Garoppolo or no?
Not really Jimmy G. I know it's been Winston, Watson, as of recently, just because Friday determines his future. And I believe who is the third guy? Oh, Big Mitch guy, I guess. They're Big Mitch guys. So
yeah, and then the other team brought up was the Saints. In my first mock draft, I did have them taking quarterback. My second one that I'm actually doing tomorrow, I think I'm gonna have them go in receiver. Just these past few weeks I've seen them have a lot of confidence in Jameis Winston, who is a free agent, but it seems like he wants to come back. He was playing some great football before his injury. Obviously, they're probably going to have to pay him a little more money because what they're paying him, I think, $950,000 on kind of that prove-it deal. But it seemed like it was working. He was playing some great football. But now they're probably going to have to pay him a lot more based on his play in 2021. Getting into my number one guy. It's actually both of our number one guys. It's Malik Willis. The hype for this guy has really soared these past few weeks, especially this past weekend when the combine happened. He was helping out a homeless lady, throwing some great footballs. It was awesome. He was doing some great things. Now, it seemed like coming out of the college football season in January-ish, it seemed like your top guys were Matt Corral and Kenny Pickett, but the Malik Willis hype train has really picked up. He's always been my number one guy. I've had a pinned tweet on my account since like January. It says Malik Willis is the next Patrick Mahomes, and I still fully believe that. He's my player comparison, Patrick Mahomes. I love this guy. for those of you listening, right after this podcast, go watch some Malik Willis highlights if you haven't already. This guy is a stud. He's the quarterback from Liberty. And now he's also getting the same treatment as Bailey Zappe in the way that the competition he played wasn't the best. But again, that's not his fault. He's playing with what was given to him, and he did a great job with that. He's 6'1", 225. My player comparison for him is Patrick Mahomes. He's an absolute beast. He's got a rocket arm. And then a lot of these guys generally, like a guy like a Josh Allen or something, if they have big-time arm strength, that generally means that their accuracy isn't the best. But that's absolutely not the case for Willis. He has big-time arm strength and accuracy. He's a great runner. Takes more than one guy to bring down, which I love. Almost like Cam Newton in the way that he's really tough to tackle. A lot of these guys, a lot of these days, quarterbacks are just kind of sliding, which Willis will have to learn to do in order to, refrain from being injured. But, you know, in a goal line situation, afraid to stick a shoulder into someone and, you know, reach for the end zone, reach for the first down. His toughness is one of the things that I love about him most. He has huge rushing upside, too. He's fast, he's big, and he's got a huge arm and an accurate arm. I love it. Seems like he has really no true weaknesses, maybe some small stuff. But in a draft class full of weak quarterbacks, Willis seems to really be the shining star for me. This is my third year covering the draft. I know I'm a veteran now. I've never been more confident in a QB prospect than Malik Willis. I was really high in Zach Wilson last year. I am much more confident in Willis than I was in Wilson. I have two ideal team fits for Malik Willis. The first of which being the Atlanta Falcons. And I think that they could take almost a Kansas City Chiefs type of approach. I know I compared him to Patrick Mahomes in the way that they have a lot of really, like, kind of crafty and unusual weapons. Much like the Chiefs, if you look at their offense, you know, obviously Ridley being out for the year, that really hurt them. But they have a really crafty and almost freak-like tight end in Kyle Pitts. We've never seen a tight end with that kind of build and that kind of speed. And then also Cordero Patterson, who's a Swiss Army knife in the way that he could almost do anything. If they go get a receiver, later in the draft or through free agency, I could really see Malik Willis playing almost like a backyard type of football, just like the way that the Kansas City Chiefs do. And I think that could be really electrifying. You know, the NFC South is up for grabs since Brady retired. And I think if the Falcons take that risk, dump Matt Ryan because he sucks, and pick up Willis, they have a shot at winning this division and making the playoffs in 2022. And then my other team that I have listed is the Steelers. Seems like Mike Tomlin is just, he always gets his way, and it feels like he always just does things correctly. And I could definitely see that happening here with the Steelers and Malik Willis. I think, you know, that Tomlin's just going to find a way to get things done. And I think with Willis, he's just going to find the perfect match, Tomlin and Willis, and I think they're going to be able to win some football games there. So those are my two fits for him, the Falcons and the Steelers. And obviously Cole's crystal ball is the next Patrick Mahomes. This guy's a superstar in the making. I just kind of went on a rant there about Malik Willis, but I love him so much.
I will say, too, after the combine, he was my two. I mean, I liked him, but not like you did. But, I mean, after the combine, I mean, his film had some seriously nice, passes. Like, they're just absolute dots. And he just – that's what I had down to. Like, the dream team for this is the Falcons. It reminds me exactly of the 2017 Texans, how Watson replaced Savage. Because
– yeah, I like that comparison. Yeah,
this is how Willis will go in. I love Matt Ryan, but his time's over in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could ship him out. You probably keep him for what's it called?
Indy takes him.
He could, but I think they keep him around for I know Arthur Smith likes him a lot, but I'm trying to think it like the what's it called?
The He's veteran, a very likable guy.
Veteranship. That's what I'm trying to say. But they keep him around
But yeah, I think that's my number one team, because you could have him thrown to Pitts, and then maybe you go out and get, if you're that serious about contending, like you said, like the division's wide open. You go out and get a guy like Amari Cooper, because the NFL's stupid and you suspend. I mean, he's betting against his own team. He's betting with this team. Like, mm-hmm. like Pete Rose did. You bet with.
We both are in agreement there about Malik Willis.
I'm back.
Both sorry. Have us our number one team.
Had a little issue there, but sorry, but yeah. So, I mean, oh my God, it keeps all right. There we go. We're good now. Okay, but anyways, he'd be a perfect fit there, and obviously with the Seahawks now, they obviously. With trading Wilson away, this guy also he's my player comparison for Wilson for now, but I do like, we all thought you were crazy when you compared him to Mahomes, but I mean, it's not a bad comparison.
You see it now, don't you?
It's not bad. So I think Wilson's more, I also like comparison to Jalen Hurts, but I do think
I was just about to bring that up.
I was gonna say he's another, that's another good comparison to him, but I mean,
another thing is that when I watch Jalen Hurts play, he's like 6'2" when he's like built. It doesn't seem like it when he's on the field because he's playing with a bunch of big boys. I kind of thought he was more of a Russell Wilson. Jalen Hurts is a big dude, much like Malik Willis, just stands very tall in the pocket. So I like that comparison, but I'm going with the more high upside with the Mahomes because that's how confident I am. And I sure like being right. So if this pays off, oh, I'm going to be so happy because I'm going to be right. And I like being right. So, yeah, those are our seven guys. The NFL Draft is a very fun episode. I like really going in depth because then, you know, after the draft, our opinions could change, you know, with each team. And then maybe a year from now, I'll be listening to this. What's up, future Cole? And we could be listening to this and seeing, based on their rookie season, how accurate our picks were. I think that's going to be a very interesting thing to look at, see what we got right, see what we got wrong. That's going to be an interesting one to see. And I think next episode we might do running backs. We might do receivers because I know this year's receiver class is quite loaded, much like it has been in years past. Feels like the quarterbacks and receivers in years past have just been fantastic. And this year's wide receiver class is shaping up to be really, really good. But until then, I'll see you guys. Thank you, Joe, for joining me.
Peace.